Today's daf is daf Kuf Tet Vav, 13 days in the Omer, Shnat Tov Shin Samach Tet, and we are doing Masechet Bava Kamma, 10th parak, Gozel HaMa'achil, and we are at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Kuf Yod Dalet Amud Beit. We've been in the middle of discussing the halacha of ownership of either the actual value of a chayfetz or just the actual chayfetz itself in terms of the mitzvah of hashava, the ability to recover something that has been stolen by someone else, and particularly we've gotten into the details about what happens in a case where you're going to be able to be toveh someone who took the chayfetz from the person who stole it. And that was, of course, a big question we had earlier, machlokas. According to Rav Chisda, and it serves as an introduction to the Mishnah that's coming, as usual. So according to Rav Chisda, you can, before Yish, someone goes ahead and takes the geneva and eats it, he is just as responsible as the ganav itself, and you can be toveh either one. According to Rami Bar Chama, you needed Yish and Shinu Rishus. That complicated matters, when we got to the question, Rishus Yorish even, and so on. But certainly not just in a case where there was a Yish B'Yalma. But in any event, we saw over there that according to him, according to Rami Bar Chama, you cannot go and be toveh another person either. There's also machlokas in that the question of who is the object of your suit comes along the Mishnah to talk about an all-too-common case where somebody identifies stolen goods in someone else's hands. And the person who has these goods claims that he bought it in good faith in the open market and no idea it was stolen goods. And what's the halacha? Now, l'chor and libra v'chista, you would be able, even if he had gone ahead and eaten those things, you'd be able to sue him. So then, is that the case where someone bought something? Now, our mission is going to talk about what ends up, as we'll see in the Gemara, being a special takana, takana tashuk. We've seen very often takanot to protect the consumer. The reason we protect the consumer is, interestingly enough, it's never for the benefit of the consumer. And obviously, big business would not allow us to make takanas for the consumer. So it's because ultimately, in consumer protection laws, we are saving the day for the market. Okay. So it's always takanat hashuk. So takanat hashuk protects the consumers because we want people to be willing to spend money freely. Essentially, that's what it boils down to. So in this case, if a person who buys betum leiv is going to be in a position where all of a sudden we can come along and we're going to recover the stolen goods from him, and he doesn't get a chance to get his money back, that would be a big problem. Because then you would never buy unless you've got someone that you know from, and you wouldn't be able to have open buying and selling. So we made a takanas hashuk. So in this case, where you're makir ke lov isfarav biyad acher, you identify your things. Somebody else has got them. In the event, and we'll see what this means exactly in the Gemara, biyatzel or shem geneva ba'ir, you have established in town, to everybody's satisfaction, that there was a geneva, and that indeed you were trying to recover that geneva before you found these things. So then yishavala lokeach kama natan, the ostensible buyer who bought in good faith, will swear, look, I'm telling you, I paid $20 for that coat. And he can take it from you if you want to buy the coat back from him. But you can't just take the coat. Lav, lav kol himenu. But if not, then you cannot do the lav kol himenu. Means literally, look, the whole world isn't dependent on you, you know. It's not all from you. I mean, why should you be believed to go and be able to recover your coat stam? Sha'ani omer, machran la'acher, we're afraid that actually you sold this coat because you wanted the money. And now you want to go ahead now and recover it. And this guy was lakhan, he ultimately was the buyer, and now you've decided that you want to get that coat back, even if you have to pay for it. But therefore, if you haven't established that it was yotzel Hashem Yenei Vabi'ir, forget it. Yeah. Says the Gemara, v'chiyatzel Hashem Yenei Vabi'ir, my havi. Who cares if you've established that, I mean, because you create a rumor that something was stolen? I mean, why don't we think that this was an original plan of yours? You needed money, you went ahead, you sold it. Dilma zavninu, vuhu niyuka mafik shema. Yeah, you sold it, you're going around and creating a rumor in order that you should be able to recover it. Omrev yunam rav. Well, I mean, it was a very, very elaborate scheme. I mean, what happened over here is there were people, bo b'nei adam tov beitov. And you had guests in your house. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, you call the police, and I'm telling you, the sirens are going, the lights are blinking, half of the town is gathered around your house, and in the middle of the night, the orchim have left, their things are missing, and you're outside shouting, hivkin b'layla, v'ama nigavu kelai. This is just too elaborate for us to believe. Says, well, what do you mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you mean it's too elaborate to believe? But on the contrary, you had guests. They needed to get to the airport in the middle of the night. They went to the airport, and you decided to take advantage of being up anyway and have a good excuse. What happened? My guests left in the middle of the night. They had walked out with suitcases. Those were my suitcases. I mean, so, but yeah, you found in Ilam Matzah, and you're taking advantage. Oh, so Rav Kahana says, no, wait a minute. You didn't hear the whole story. It was Messiah by Mishmei to Rav. He says, well, Rav explained. Rav Yehuda quoted Rav. You didn't hear the whole story. The story was that Rav ended this by adding, here's different. There was a tunnel that had been dug under his house, and the people that had been sleeping in his house, Bnei Adam, Shalano Betor Beito Yatsu, they had come out, and on Buraka Ocho Kelim Akitvehem, they're carrying these big, heavy bundles. I mean, this looks really, this is the classic picture of walking out with the guy's silverware. And Hakol Omrim Nignevu Kelav Shaploni. Okay, fine. So people are saying Nignevu Kelav for Shaploni. So therefore, he could go ahead and claim now that since there was a robbery, so therefore it included Sfarim. Did anybody say anything about Sfarim? Are we saying just because there's a robbery, so therefore you can get whatever the heck you want? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's exactly what it is. You have a little bit of a mikor, and you're taking advantage of it now, huh? So Dilma Kalim Havi Sfarim no Havi. No, obviously, whatever the situation was that there's going to be a claim against, that's what we're talking about. There were raglayim ladover that something had actually happened. So it's talking about over here, not that they said it was only Sfarim Shaploni, but they said it was also the Kamri Nami Sfarim. What is that supposed to mean? I mean, maybe Dilechish Dilma Zutri Vekatoin Ravir. It's still very vague. They're saying Kalim, Sfarim. Great. So now he is demanding the money for this very, very expensive sefer, whereas in reality all they had done, or even if it was true, maybe in reality all that was stolen was a chumash. You know, he's claiming it was the Aleppo Codex. I mean, you know, what's to say that this has anything to do with what was stolen? So you're still not addressing the problem. You know, all we have is a vague sense of things that were stolen. You're right. It has to be exact. The Kamri Sefer Ploni Uploni. I mean, we actually identify the particular book was gone with the wind. What do you mean? Maybe it was like a used book. You got a used bookstore. And he's claiming the brand new edition of Gone with the Wind with the additional, the sequel, and the whole thing. I mean, so how do you know that it shouldn't indeed be Gone with the Wind? Amarav, you're right. Halalu Kelev Shaploni. Halalu Sfarim Shaploni. It has to be that when the call is Yotze, it was about those particular books. The Rambam learns that it doesn't mean Lechatchila. This is not in addition to the previous shot. It's actually, all we need to do is an alternative. That if we can identify these subsequently, originally it's just a call. Not that the call initially. There was a robbery, and not that we have to keep getting more and more detailed about what was in the robbery. Subsequently, the people that were around say, oh yes, that was in his house before. Makes a lot of sense that would be the robbery. Now, it says, there's a big problem here, because all of this is Reb Yudah Merav, or it was Messiah Babish made Rav, which implies that Rav goes along with all of this. Problem is, Rav himself holds that you would not have to pay in that case. Miyom Rav Achi? Miyom Rav Baba Machteret, a guy who has actually dug a Machteret. You said it's talking about it was Machteret, right? So he's a Baba Machteret. V'natar Kelim V'yatza. He gets out of this Machteret. He is Potter. Now you're saying that, no, actually, there's a full chiyuv to pay back these things. I say he's Potter. You know why he's Potter? Because he was kind of in blood. Play on words. Bedomi Kanan. He paid full price, and he paid with his blood. In other words, since Komlei B'Rab, I mean, he's Bukhliyev, essentially, he's exposing himself to being killed because the owner has a right to shoot him if he's a Boba Machteret. So since he was a Boba Machteret, he would have been Potter if he was shot. So if he sold him to somebody else, why is there a bigger chiyuv? He basically owns them now, without any chiyuv of Hashavah. So why does the other guy have to pay them back? So why would Rav have given this explanation to the Mishnah? It's inconsistent with Rav's own opinion. He says the Gemara, wait a minute. I don't even know the Kadanu of Boba Machteret, and the Ikor must have actually told him. That's talking about the guy who got into the house with the Machteret, not the guy who escaped from the house with the Machteret. The idea over here is, since on his way in he would have been shot, so Mimela, he was Cain at that point. If we had found him, we would have killed him. But in this case, these guys had it all worked out. They had an escape route from the house. They got invited into the house walked out of the Machtereta. That's great. So where's the Mosur Nafshayu? Hanikiv the low Mosur Nafshayu Liktala lo. I mean, you've got to be willing to pay if you're going to be a Ghana. If you're willing to risk your life, then you get to keep it. Oh my God. The whole discussion of yours, Loshan El Balabayit, Asuilim Korki Love. If this is the type of guy who would go around and would sell his kelim if he needs money, it's not someone who's known to be a Balabayit who's got things for heirlooms in his home and he keeps what he has. He's always doing business, you know, a little macher. Sell a little bit, you get a good price, you buy another set. But so over there we need to establish that indeed. Because otherwise it makes sense for us. Maybe he really did sell it. Now he wants to recover it. But if he's a regular guy, we don't need this type of elaborate police things and all. Over there, it makes sense that in such a case, he wouldn't have sold. Well, what do you mean it makes sense? The only consequences of his having. I don't get it. So then, what you're telling me, it can never happen that a guy goes to a pawn shop. The guy went to a pawn shop, sold it. The person can get into a pickle. He finds out somebody else bought it from the pawn shop. So now he's putting out a big tumult that it was stolen. He wants to buy it back. No. Says Ravash, we didn't say there's nothing. I mean, you have to go shame the name of it. We're just saying you don't need this elaborate kind of business with a machteret and the whole thing. It means that a normal guy like that doesn't go ahead and make a whole deal in the middle of the night with the police and so on. It's enough. With Yatsula machteret, but you're. That's an indication. It was a gneiv for a guy like that. That's sufficient. Ijma. Ganavu machar. V'achar kach hukara ganav. Somebody is a ganav. And now, it turns out we know who the ganav is. It's possible to recover it from the ganav. It's possible, perhaps, recover it from the lokeach. Now, our Mishnah says, you found something. It's discussed with the ganav. You want to go now and get your coat back? You pay the buyer. But how about if the ganav is available? And now it's very clear. He sold this coat. And he's ultimately responsible. So what happens over there? That's the question. So Rav Mishpeh, the Rebbe Amar, Adinim HaRishon, the suit of the owner of the thing is against the ganav himself, against the first party. He was the first party, and in that case, the buyer is not the guy that he can come and sue. He wants his coat back. He has to pay for it. Even though Lamaisa, you could say to the buyer, listen, you bought it from him, go get your money back. No, the buyer could say, it's not my problem. You want your coat, pay me for the coat, and then you can go get the money from the ganav, right? And he can't force him to go and do the din against the ganav. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Mishpeh, Rabbi Yonah, Hadinim HaSheni, that the halacha is that the Baal HaBayit is going to be able to take his coat back without paying, and then ask the buyer to go back to the ganav now that he's hukar, because he'll end up losing money in the end. So the takanot hashuk would be served. We'll see later on specifically how we understand whether and what takanot hashuk is. Omer of Yosef, look, you need to understand that there's not a machlokas here at all. Lo pleading. Kam lifnei yush. It depends. If you're talking about before yush, so then of course, hadin im hasheni. Because the lokeach, if it was before yush, is now in possession of something that belongs to somebody else. Therefore, he's the one that has to give over the coat and get his money back from the ganav. But kam, the achar yush. So in a case where the tzlifnei yush, the neinochinami, hadin im hasheni, you can go directly to the buyer, because it's your coat. But kanli achar yush, hadinim harishon. Which means that there's no reason for us to say that Rabbi Yochanan we can go back to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. They were both quoting someone else, but it's easier to refer to as Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan were arguing, there's no need to say that they were arguing. And that actually, tavayu itu to Rav Chista. Everybody holds Rav Chista that in a case where there was no yush, so if somebody else comes along and eats it, so if Chista's kiddush was, you can collect it from the party you ate it. So over here, if it's talking about before Yush, so then indeed you can collect it from the party that has it. So since over here, the fact that he paid is irrelevant, because he's now a ganav. In a case where the Mishnah is talking about lohukar haganav, so if lohukar haganav, there you have a takanat hashuk. But if ultimately a buyer knows where to get his money back, not some guy was walking down the street, sold it to him, and now wins it. Well, what am I supposed to do? I don't know where to find the guy. It's hukar haganav. And we know now exactly who was the one who actually stole it. So it's not he's going to have an infinite regress into going to this guy. This guy said, well, I don't know, I bought it from the supplier, and so on and so forth. It's not hukar haganav. So why should we make a takanat hashuk? Omalei abaye, that's not true. V'lo pligi? You're going to tell me that Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi and Rabbi Yonah are not really arguing? We know that Lamaisa, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan do argue themselves in a case where there's no Yiddish. Because Matleis Kuhuna, can we agree that in a case where somebody has taken things that belong, like the Zohar L'Chayim V'Keva, or Matleis Kuhuna, which we refer to generally as the Matana, stop. So a butcher has to give the Zohar L'Chayim V'Keva to the Kohen. Is there anybody to be Miyayish? By definition, if you take Matleis Kuhuna for yourself, there was no Yiddish, we have all of the Kohen. are available to take it. The truth is they're going to point out, even if we'd be talking about that it's a case of makare kuhuna, or makare kuhuna is that this is a person who normally is the one you give it to. The fact that there could be a tfiya is one thing, but you still, even makare kuhuna can't be miayin. There's always somebody else in line. You don't think you're going to get it? I think maybe I can recover. Whatever. So by definition, if you're talking about matanot kuhuna, you're talking about lifnei yush. According to you, lifnei yush, the halacha is always adinim hasheni. I want to show you that Rav and Rav Yochanan actually argue about even that case. Here's the case. It's not. Amarlo mekorli me'ea shel parah. The guy walks into a butcher shop and he orders the me'ayim of a parah. This me'ayim ends up, when it's delivered, to contain matanot. Vayu bahen matanot. So what does he do? Not nan la kohen ve'eno menakelo min adamim. He has to give those matanot to a kohen, and he cannot deduct the money of the matanot from what he owns, the butcher, owes the butcher. But suppose it was bought by weight, and obviously these matanot were included in the weight, and the butcher writes him out the weight that he's charging for. So lakach emenu b'mishkal, in that case, he still gives the matanot to the kohen, but he's menakelo min adamim. He subtracts the value of the matanot that were illegally charged to him, because the tabach owed those matanot, and in that case, he is menakelo min adamim. Okay, so now Rav, and here's what I'm going to show you, there is a machlokas. Rav said that loshonu elosh shakala atzmo. Where do we say that if he bought it by weight, that he has to be the one to give it to the kohen, and then he has to get the money back from the butcher, in this case by subtracting the money, but I mean, it wouldn't make any difference. Even if he had paid the money, he could go now and get the money back, but the kohen doesn't have to pay him for the matanot. Where do we say that? That's only where he went ahead and went to the freezer, the display freezer. He selected the beet, and he puts it on the scale. And he includes the me'ayim that was from the Zorah L'chayayim V'kiva. The buyer went in and did this himself. The guy had an open freezer. You do a selection, and then you bring it to the cash register. That's what he did. So in that case, over there, indeed, we say that the guy is responsible to give it back to the kohen, because he took it. And then he can get his money back from the tabach that he shouldn't have paid, or be menakem in a tabach. But if the tabach himself was shokel, shakalo ha-tabach himself, then the kohen can go ahead, and the din is with the tabach, not with the buyer. So that means that the kohen cannot come to the buyer and say, hey, those are my matanot. He would have to actually pay for it, recover it from the tabach. So, I mean, this would mean, essentially, that Rav is saying, Hadin im ha-rishon. Who is the Rishon in this case? The Tabach. He's the Rishon. He's the Ganav. So if that's the case, then he would be saying that Rav does not hold of Rav Chisda. Because according to Rav Chisda, since there's no Yirsh here, by definition, there's no Yirsh by Matanot Kuhuna. Since there's no Yirsh over here, Alib Rav Chisda, you could be Toveya from the Koneh. So why does he have to go all the way back to the Tabach? Do you see that Rav holds even without Yirsh should go back to the original Ganav? No, he says, but that doesn't mean the Dinim HaTabach. It means Ema af dinim atabach. What's the chiddush in that? No, there is a chiddush, because ma'od et ema, let me tell you something. You might have thought that since matanot kuhuna are a gift from the Lord, so they have a din. Basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bezak of the kohani in Zor L'chayim v'keva. So you might think, guys, they have a hegdish. In other words, basically, they say, well, you can't steal hegdish, because wherever it is, it's b'begaz et rachmoni. Belongs to hegdish. So the same thing is true about matnes kuhuna. If the Torah was mezak of kohani b'matnes kuhuna, wherever those matanots are, they're in the rishus of the kohen, in which case it's not really possible to steal them. And therefore, einan nigzalot, because the Torah gave it over with a very powerful kinyan. And if that's the case, even where the tabach had picked it up, gave it to the buyer, not that the buyer selected it from the freezer, I would have thought maybe in that case, you can't really be tovea from the first party, or tovea from the guy who has it, because he's the guy that has it now for the kohen. It was always in the rishus of the buyer, of the kohen, even when the buyer takes it. So therefore, I might have thought over there, it has to be menalokeh only, kamash malan, af dinim atabach. You can even go back to the ganav, which normally would be obvious, kir with exachish. So la baye, how about according to Abaye, who holds that they do argue? Right? He's telling Abaye was the one who said, oh, plige. So okay, you want to get out of it and claim Rabbi Yosef that they are not plige. Fine. But how about according to Abaye that there's a machlokas? Can you explain what is the selah machlokas? What are they arguing here? But my plege, they would be plegeing the Rav Chisda. The question is exactly this issue. Can you go after somebody who was the one who took the Geneva in a case where there was no Yirsh, even though he was not the Ganav? So Rav Chisda, remember, said, somebody else goes ahead and eats it before Yirsh, he can be sued directly. You don't have to sue the Ganav. Rav obviously doesn't hold that, because Rav is saying that the din is im harishon, which means only im harishon in all cases. Okay? So you can't go after the buyer. Abaye explains that he doesn't mean a din im harishon, only im harishon in this case. It means even im harishon, despite the fact that it's matanot kuna. But according to Abaye, it's the same outlook as we had in the Mishnah before. I was talking about Yorshim. Remember that? Let me just once again remind you this sugi, the whole flow of the sugi here. It all started with an idea of someone who dies leaving stolen goods to his heirs, and the heirs go ahead and eat the stolen goods. It says over there that they're potter. So the Gemara thought, that's how we derived the Rapista. The Gemara thought, oh gosh, that shows that Rapista is wrong. As Rapista says, you can actually go after the guy who ate it, right? That's where we came up with this difference. Reb Chisda was talking about before Yirsh. Reb Chisda claims the Mishnah talking only after Yirsh. That was the beginning of our whole discussion of the Machlokas. So it's very simple. This story over here of Rav and Reb Yochanan is essentially that story. Rav is saying, I don't buy into Reb Chisda, despite the fact that you ate the stolen goods. You weren't the one who stole them. And therefore, we don't go after you. We go after only the first one. Reb Yosef says, why make it a Machlokas? The point over here is this case you're saying is before Yirsh? Yes, true. But when Rav said over here that you go after the butcher, he didn't mean only after the butcher. He meant even after the butcher. So you say, obviously you go after the ganav, I mean, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy. Because since we're talking about the unique case of Matanot Kuna, and Matanot Kuna have a very strong kingdom because the Torah gives it to the Kohen, so you might think that ultimately the ganav is only the final party. Because we don't have the normal mechanisms of having kinyonim on it as a commercial, you can even go after the ganav. Fine. According to Abaye, we have a machlokas between Rav and Reb Yochanan about whether the din is like Reb Chisda or whether you can only go after a ganav and not after the final consumer, even though it's before Yirsh. Reb Zvid argues. Reb Zvid says, now actually, what we can say is not that they're arguing in a case of Lifnei Yirsh, which would be the only case that they would argue in Reb Chisda. Reb Zvid said, if there was no Yirsh, nobody argues on Reb Chisda. Just like you said. 100% everybody agrees with Reb Chisda. Nonetheless, and therefore the din would be with the Sheni. Here we're talking about where there was Yirsh, okay? Nonetheless, there is a machlokas. I say like this. It's talking about there was Yirsh, but where was the Yirsh? Was the Yirsh before you bought it? Or was the Yirsh after you bought it? And that's the machlokas. It's talking about Shnit Yashu Abali Biyad HaLokeach. But Lo Nit Yashu Biyad HaGanav. So at the time that the Lokeach bought it, it was no longer Yirsh. The machlokas is this, obligate. Mars avar Yirsh va'achar kach shinui reshut. Koni shinui, koni. In a case where you've got Yirsh, first and then shinui reshut. Then, in fact, it's kena, and you can't recover it. But if the Yirsh was biyad halokeach, it's too late. Since at the time that you bought it was before Yirsh, then you can still recover it. Mars the other man the armor holds, that even in a case where you've got now a shinui reshut first, and then Yirsh, you could be kainah. So, but the other man, the Yomer says, she never shows for a harkach Yirsh, such as over your low kani, umar servalo shna, it makes no nafkamina, you were kainah completely, and therefore it does not need to be returned. Rav Papa says, there's another issue over here in this machlokas. We are talking about ifnei Yirsh, but we are not talking about the same situation of Rav Chisda. We're talking about over here a galima, remember? So a galima, the kuliyama lo plige, the hadar lemore. In a case where there's a Geneva Kayemet, everybody goes with the Sfara that it's given back directly to the owner without any need for him to pay. And the buyer cannot keep something from an owner by claiming, I'm not giving this back to you because you didn't pay me for it. And everybody agrees to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says over here that, look, the halacha is that if it was before Yirsh, so then Enoch Inami, it's still owned by the original guy. Now, when Rav went ahead and said, Adin im harishon, you can only go after the first guy, he wasn't referring to the fact that the owner has the din only with the rishon. He was referring to the buyer as a din im harishon. That's the point. So that the lokeach now, the buyer is going to have to go back, and he's the one that's going to have to recover his money from the rishon. That was the meaning over here. So, beglim de kuliyama lo pligi dohadar lemore. The only question is over here, that when somebody buys something in a market, so we're arguing if somebody buys something in the open, in an open stall in a market, and he has absolutely no reason to suspect that it was stolen. So Rav Mishmeder Pchia Amar, this is a special case. Fine. But Rav says, Hadini Marishon, and therefore the din of the Lokeach, not the din of the owner, is that he can go and lishkos is in the ganav, and even in this case, lo asubo takanat ashuk, since it's before yush, the guy owns the coat, and you cannot be ma'ak of the coat for yourself, claiming that you want your money. You have to go and get the money back by from the ganav. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yana, Omar, hadin im hasheni, not the din of the balabayit, the din of the lokeach, is with the second order party, meaning that the din of the lokeach, the lishkos mi balabayit, meaning asubo takanat ashuk. The guy who's got the other person's item has to return it to him, but he gets the money from that person because there's a takanat ashuk. Since he bought it on the open market, didn't buy it from somebody who's now opens up his lapel and says, I got a deal, you can't refuse. But he went into a store and bought it. In that case, we have a takanat ashuk. He has no reason to suspect that there's stolen goods over here, and the Baal HaBayit is going to have to pay him. He doesn't have to go after the ganav. Says the Gemara, but that's not true. Because Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, right? And there was a famous case of, you remember, mean old Hanan the bully? Hanan Bisha? We know about Hanan Bisha. Now, one of the things that Hanan Bisha did was he was going to Gulia, and he stole somebody's jacket, Vizavna, and he goes in and sells it. Otel Akavi to Rav Huna. So then the guy goes and comes to Rav Huna and says, this guy wants his jacket back. What do I do? So he tells the owner of the jacket, Omer Leilo Gavra, Zil Shari Avitcha. What, man? Take your wallet and open it up and pay. In other words, you want to be matir, the mashkin, so to speak. That's how I look at it. I look at it as a pikabel. You want to get back, you pay for it. So I don't understand. Why are we saying that Rav, you're claiming that the halacha is that lo asubo takanat ashuk? And here they came to Rav Huna, who was a Talmud of Rav, and Rav Huna said, I'm sorry, but if you want your coat back, asu takanat ashuk, which means you're going to have to pay. Yes, you get to recover stolen goods, but only if you pay the buyer. It's not the buyer's problem to go running after the ganav, since he bought it in a store that's got the seal of good housekeeping on it. So why is it now going to be his problem? That, by the way, that the seal of good housekeeping is exactly this is the good, right? In other words, you know if you buy something that's advertised in this magazine, there's where to go to get the money back. That's a sec. That makes people buy. That's takanat ashuk. That's exactly what happens over here. Takanat ashuk. Oh, excellent. Our president has actually been omed on the special situation over here. Answers the Gemara. Now, wait a second. You can't ask from over there. But there it's different. Shinei Hanan Bisha. Since over here you're dealing with a famous bully. So what are you going to tell the guy? Look, you know, you go. It's your responsibility to get the money out of Hanan Bisha. When was the last time anybody got money out of Hanan Bisha? I mean, the guy is a 6'8" and, weighs 400 pounds, and you're going to go after Hanan Bisha. Thank you very much. So, give me the lekelish talume, since there's no way to get your money out of him, it's the equivalent case of lohu kara ganav dami. All of the discussion was where we know the ganav is. So, it's possible for the buyer to get his money. So, then there's a shaila whether there's a takanat ashuk, but nobody argued in the case where lohu kara ganav. Omar Rava, look, let me tell you something. In ganav mufursamu, lo asubo takanat ashuk. If you're buying heftiba, so there's certainly no takanat ashuk. What are you, a friar to go and walk? You think that somebody's going to bail you out? You're bought in Cheftiba, then you got nobody to talk to. Whatever the case would be. So then there's no takanat ashuk. Wait a minute. So then the Hanan Bisha problem comes right back on your head. Everybody knows that Hanan Bisha is a jerk. So why, you could say, so why did you go buy by Hanan Bisha? You should never have bought by Hanan Bisha. So it's your problem. Why should the guy have to pay you for recovering the stolen goods that you got from Hanan Bisha? So Hanan Bisha is before Samu. And nonetheless, we see that Rav Huna agrees that Asubo Takanat Ashuk, and in this case, the Takanat Ashuk applies even where Hukara Ganav, because you can't get your money out of it. Says the man, wait a minute. Hanan Bisha is known as a horrible person, but I mean, he's not before Samu as a Ganav. You might be a horrible person, and you don't want to do business with him, but that doesn't mean you have to suspect that what he's selling you is stolen goods. I mean, now you do, because now we know. But it's not called buying from a ganav mufursam, and it also is not included under the din of hukar haganav. So we have three different stages over here. Just to clarify, even Alibad's latest shot of Rav Papa, correct? And the Rav Papa is saying like this. If you've got no place to recover your money, then clearly we have a takon. The problem is, in a case where hukar haganav, where you do have an option of recovering your money from the buyer, you can go back to the store, which is now officially recognized by the police as having sold stolen goods. You're not going to have to go now and prove anything. We know who the ganav is. So go, you can recover your money. Machlokas over here, the way Rav Papa understands it, is whether we made a takanat ashuk to make life easier for you, or the very fact that in the end you have recourse to getting your money back You don't need a takanat hashok. It's enough. A guy knows he'll be able to recover his money. That's the question. All right. In that further two caveats to this halacha. If you had reason to believe that you were buying stolen goods, we certainly are not going to make a takanat hashok. That's called ganav mefursam. Furthermore, when we say that you have recourse, it has to be practical recourse. It's not enough to say we've identified the ganav. It's got to be that there is a way to get money out of that guy. If it's Hanan Bisha, so then it doesn't help to say you've got recourse. Yeah? You're going to do it for me? What's the recourse? So in that case, it's considered to be lohu karaganav. All right? So we need to take all of that into consideration. So the elements that we have to address are, is it before Yirsh or Acher Yirsh? Do you hold a Rav Chisda or do you not hold a Rav Chisda? Do we have reason to suspect that you, when you bought it, you bought goods that you took into consideration were stolen goods? Do you have recourse because of Ukara Ganav? Even in Ukara Ganav, do you have recourse in a Prarihi? That Hanan Bisha is Mefursama Bishuta. He may be known to be a rotten person to do business with. That's not the same thing as saying that he's a Ganav. Look, they put Aloma Fursam. It's one. Now, there's some fascinating and very clear differences that we need to make about Takanat Hashok. Because remember, Takanat Hashok ultimately is to make consumer protection so that the markets function freely. But how about where it's clear that the consumer wasn't in need of the protection to go ahead and do what he did? For instance, a store gave credit to someone. Now, obviously, they were ready to give credit. Or somebody lent money. The credit card company allowed him to withdraw funds based on his credit card. He goes ahead now and pays with stolen goods. Now, obviously, in that case, we don't make a takanat hashok because the money was already given before he used the stolen goods. So it's not that this, we need to oil the market by allowing stolen goods to be recoverable and so on, but nonetheless pay back for nonsense. Over here, what are you going to say? I never would have given him money if I had known he was going to pay me in stolen goods. Great. But you gave him money not knowing whether he was going to pay you or not. So what do you want from us? You're going to make a takanat of that because he paid you in stolen goods. Therefore, you don't have to give back the goods. So there, he'll owe you the money like he did before. So if Ganavu Parabe Chovo, or Ganavu Parabe Ekefo, he's paying back his credit. Obviously, lo asupa takanat hashok, because the Amri lavadai to the Hani Yahavitale. Mina, you didn't give this guy anything, right? You didn't give this guy anything based on these stolen goods. You got these stolen goods ex post facto, after extending him credit. So we don't need to make it easier for you. How about if you took a mashkin, and then you gave him the loan, and the mashkin was the stolen goods? So now you're collecting, basically, and you're claiming that I never would have made a loan if I hadn't have been given this mashkin. And now it turns out that the mashkin was stolen. Now there you could say, okay, there is a basis. We want people to be able to pawn things and get money. So perhaps there is a takanas hashok for somebody who accepted a pawn. That depends. If the mashkin was shavi matayim, and the loan was for a mea, so in other words, you gave a $200 mashkin in return for a $100 loan, then it is reasonable to say that the loan would never have been made without the mashkin. And in their case, asupo takanat hashok. But if a guy gave as a pawn a $100 watch in exchange for a $100 loan, the lender was not looking at the mashkin. No lender will lend on a mashkin that's worth the value of the loan. So obviously, he wants to be able to get rid of it. He wants to have a $200 watch to give a $100 loan, like any reasonable pawn shop. I mean, even 2-to-1 is very, very good for pawning. So Mimela, if the guy was really doing that, he was obviously a friend who would have given him the loan anyway. And now this was just sort of to make the guy feel good and to cover it, but it wasn't really a mashkin. And therefore, lo asupo takanat hashok in that case. So if it was shaveh b'shaveh, so Amemar says, look, in that case, lo asupo takanat hashok. There's no drama even in that case. How about, we're talking about sales. That's normal takanat hashok. So where a sale is a real price sale. So you sold for the value. Shaveh b'shaveh. So zvina shaveh b'shaveh asupo takanat hashok. But how about if the goods turn out to be stolen, were actually a sale of something that was clearly only worth $100. And they got paid double. How about that? Matai. So it may have been matai. So Reb Sheshet says, look, in that case, you don't get anything back. Because it's clear that the buyer was just trying to get you cash. I mean, he was covering it by overpaying ridiculously for something that he gave you. So essentially he gave you a gift. Where people are giving gifts, we don't need to oil the market for gifts. And therefore, you don't get anything back. Whereas Rava Amar, even in that case, a pseudo takana. Because to take the full amount over there. Because sometimes people are turned on by a particular item and they're willing to overpay. How can you say, but dafka, because he overpaid to such an extent, that it was a takanat hashok? It could very well be that he wanted this item. The halach is in all of the previous machlokas. Lagabi mashkan, lagabi zvina. All of them, the din is, we did make a takanat hashok. The only one where clearly there's no takanat hashok is where parabe chovo or ganavu parabe kefo. We're over there, there's nothing to discuss. Someone extended you credit. I don't care whether it's a storekeeper. I don't care whether it's a pawn shop who didn't take a pawn. You want to pay with stolen goods. We're not protecting any consumer in that case, because clearly people were taking the risks before they even got this. And therefore, let them continue taking the risks. Give it back. But he owes me money. Fine. He owed you money before he gave this to you. So he'll continue to. Yeah, but now I don't trust him. He's dealing... That's not our problem. I mean, you trusted him up front. Trust him further. Avimi Barnazi was the father-in-law of Ravina. And Avimazi Barugava Arba'a Zuzi. And a guy owed him 4 zuz. So the guy steals a coat. Ganav Glima. And Adya Niale. He brings him a coat to pay back for these 4 zuz. And Ozve Arba'a Zuzi Achrini. And what happens over here is that the father-in-law now goes and he's now another 4 zuz for him. So what happens? The guy recognizes his glima and comes and wants to take it back. So the sofu karagana otor kabi ravina omar kamoy kana upara bechovo v'lo bar lamei. So he gives him 4 zuz, and the ganav returns the 4 zuz. Not the ganav, the guy who. Well, now we know he's the ganav. Paid him 4 zuz. So Ravina's father-in-law says, "Well, my guy is an honest guy. He's paid me back 4 zuz. I'll give another 4 zuz." Now it turns out the original 4 zuz, the whole thing was never paid back. But the question is whether it was a takanas hashuk over here. So he comes and he wants to know whether he's able to collect the money from this person, the owner of the stolen coat, because of takanas hashuk, or he's got to return it. Now this, on the surface, appears to be a straight out issue of par abachovo, where there's no takanas hashuk. So therefore the father-in-law's up the creek without a paddle, because he cannot claim that he wants the money before he's going to give back the coat, because why did he lend the money? He would have lent the money obviously anyway. So he goes now, and he gets a psak from his son-in-law. Son-in-law gives him a very gentle psak. He says, look, clearly the first 4 zuz, okay, you can't get money for that. I mean, that's ganav upara b'chovo. But now, you lent another 4 zuz based on this, right? Okay, so you never would have lent him the other 4 zuz. So obviously you lent him 4 zuz now, because you're holding the stolen goods. If it's a mashkin in advance, so we said that indeed you do have a way to recover your money. So then these 4 zuz, you can insist that you want the money, so you can get the money for the jacket. Says Rav Kain, what kind of nonsense is that? Mashkin for Rav Kain. I don't understand. The stolen goods were a pay back, not a mashkin. He gave you a stolen goods in order to repay you the 4 zuz that you had originally lent. Now, that's a classic ganav upara b'chovo, ganav upara b'keifo. You have no takanas hashuk on that. You're now lending him another 4 zuz. Oh, and your son-in-law is telling you that's a mashkin. Well, look at that here, mashkin. Is that a mashkin? You made a new loan without any mashkin at all. The same loan that you made the guy originally because you trusted him, you made him again the second time after you paid back the first loan. So where the heck is the takanas hashuk? So the second one, you believed him the first time. So the arbaz is batroyim noyim. Obviously, the same way you believed him the second time, same way you did the first time. In the end, it came before Rabbi Avu, and he said, "Absolutely, hilchatak Rav Kain. That's the halacha. Why should we view it as a mashkin against which he gave him a second loan?" Now there was a story over here of a guy from Narish who stole a sefer. He sold it to someone from Papunya for 80 zuz. So Zavdila the Papuna, Bitumani zuz. The guy from Papunya went and sold it to a rich fellow in Bechuza, and he sold it for 120. Zavdila bar Bechuza, the Mehavestrim zuz. In the end, it was Ukara Ganav, and now the owner of the Sefer wants the Sefer back. So since it's Ukara Ganav in this case, we have a Takarat Ashok. What happens? Says Abai, I'll tell you. Why should he have to pay the 120 that the last buyer, the second buyer paid? I mean, Lamaisa was originally sold for 80. So let the guy who owns the Sefer go. Pay the guy in Mechoza 80 out of his 120. And let the guy from Mechoza go and recover the other 40 from the guy from Papunya who got such a good deal out of him. Because clearly, initially, if it was sold for 80, so that was the only takanat hashuk that we made, the original price. Let him pay only back the original price. So therefore, let the owner pay Bar Mechoza Tzman and Zuzin. Let him take his Sefer back, the Shakal Safri. Let the Bar Mechuzo go and get the remaining 40 out of Shakal Arboim, mi Papuna, from the guy from Papunya, who had sold it to him for such a good price, taking advantage of the rich people in Mechoza. Matki Florov, does that make sense? Hashtalo keach mi ganav, asubo takanat hashem. You understand what you're saying? The way that this works, I don't care if you're telling me that the ultimate outcome of this thing is to force a owner to have to pay back for what it is that he stole. But the bottom line is, we are protecting consumers. That's how the takana works. Now, we are protecting a consumer who bought from a ganav. And you're telling me, yes, we'll protect the consumer who bought from a ganav, but we won't protect the consumer who bought from somebody who bought from a ganav. Now, that's crazy. That's crazy. The second consumer should be even more protected, because he's a step away. There's no basis at all to say that he was able to trace the thing back to a ganav. So you're telling me, well, we're only going to protect the buyer of the first order. What? It's a kal vachomer. Makif la rava. That makes no sense. If a lokeach be ganav asur bo takanat hashuk. And he doesn't have to worry about the ganav now. So lokeach be boy. We're not going to protect the baal bechuzar who was only a buyer of the second order. Elo amar rava. Obviously, the correct psak is that the owner of the sefer is going to have to respond to the consumer protection laws to baal bechuzar. He's going to have to pay the full 120 that the final consumer paid. And then, now he pays for the baal bechuzar. May I ask you? He takes back his sefer. Now, the owner of the sefer, indeed, is able to recover 40 from the papuna and 80 from the original ganav, from Narash. Because it's the final consumer who's protected, and the guy in papunya got his money out of it. So why in the world? We're not going to protect the papunoi on the whole thing. He already sold it and has cash. Fine, so give me the portion of the cash that you got. And then the rest of it, fine, I will recover from the original ganav. Continues the Halakha Mishnah. Zeba, we had originally discussed, of course, this was a machlokas, but we had discussed Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who spoke right before the beginning of the Mishnah, the safe of the Mishnah, right before the beginning of the Mishnah about a case of the Tanai Bezdin, of somebody who's going to recover a beehive, and he adds over there that there is also a Takana Bezdin, that if somebody's a good Samaritan, that's not a very kosher word for a fine Jewish dafyomi, but if someone is a, quote, good Samaritan, that we make good Samaritan protection laws. And if you poured out your wine for another guy's dvash, you have a right to be lokeach, the money. So this is actually not a good Samaritan protection law, but a friar protection law. But the Mishnah addresses the problem of friars. So, Zeba b'chavito shel yayin, v'zeba b'kado shel dvash, two guys are walking along the street, and as almost a microcosm of Mizikin as a whole, exactly the same Mishnah, where there was a collision. This is not a collision. This is a collision of interests. As you're walking down the street, you see that this guy's barrel of very expensive dvash is broken. And you pour out your wine, which is only a third the value of the dvash, and you use the only kli that you've got to save the other man's dvash. So, the guy says, wow, you must have worked at least 10 minutes of that. I'm going to pay you what I would pay my guy for 10 minutes of work. For all the work you did. That's all he's got. So, how much does the rental of your empty barrel cost? And how much does your work for filling it cost? The imam, if the guy before he says, look, I am willing to save your dvash, if you're willing to agree to give me my money. So there, even though there was no kinyan and it's only a promise, normally you can't collect on that. But imam, and the guy agrees, then that is enough under the circumstances that he's chayav litenu. Another case would be, I think I was going to ask why we need both cases. Shataf nachal chamoro v'chamor chaviro. There's a sudden flood on the way down to the Yom HaMelech, and it washes away two chamori. Now, this guy's chamor is only worth 100 zuz, and the other guy's chamor is worth 200. So he says, why should I save my chamor worth only 100? Let me, for the same amount of pircha, I'll save the other guy's chamor. At least we'll save Yiddish geld. So it'll be my 100 plus, at least he'll get back 100. So he leaves his chamor to be washed away by the water, and he's matzil et shal chaviro. His chaver says, wow, that was a lot of work you did. Saving my chamor. And eno el escharo. I'll be happy to pay you for the 10 minutes of work. Now, of course, the problem in these cases, which is the first thing we need to address, is if your chamor is being washed away, it's after.
So it's the other guy's.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you took the other guy, keep it. And if the guy's dvash is leaking out, it's not owned by anyone. Remember that the original hanacha in all of these cases is that something that is over the kolal of kulay has no balut, can't be controlled, has no balut. So we had a special din about beehives. You know, fine. But I mean, in this case, a classic case of avudalom and kolal of kulay. The first guy to save it keeps it. So the whole case of the Mishnah doesn't seem to make much sense. And that we're going to have to address.
What is the shita between the guy in yesterday's Mishnah about...
It wasn't a Mishnah. It was the shita of Yishmael ben Osher Yochanan ben Broka. But we only paskin like that in the Nechil Sheol Dvorim. Not in these cases. He was claiming it was a Tanai Bezdin Rabbanatkein nitchil Yoshua et haaretz. Okay? The Mishnah says that only if he said, Imamarlo, ani atzilat shelcha, v'ata noten li et sheli, and he agrees, then chayav litein. Sorry? No, only according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher Yochanan Baruch. Yeah, with whom we don't paskin like him. We paskin like him only in the case that we put into the Mishnah, which is the case of the Nechir Shel Dvorim. So now, Amar, Lema Lema Ev Kerek Kazachida. I don't understand any of these cases. Why can't the guy simply keep his Dvash, keep his Hamor, since it was Hefker? Milo Tanya, Amishato Yaton, Kade Yayin, Vekade Shemen, Vera'ash, Ein Mishtabrot. If a guy is carrying there's a barrels of oil, and you see their break, everything's leaking out. So you figure, wow, what a great opportunity. Okay, this is truma for all of my stuff. This is mice for all of my stuff. Whoops, what a shame. Oh dear, we lost all the truma. Well, I'll go home and eat my stuff based on this truma for my mice. So you can't do that. No, Yomar is a truma myself. And if he says that, Lomar, because he doesn't own it. It's already gone. I mean, the fact that it's still for the next 10 seconds in your barrel, it's not giving you ownership over it. So then, if that's the case, in our mission, it's exactly the same thing. You don't own it. But it's leaking out. You want to save it? Keep it. No. We're going to see later on, in another case, which we can apply to this case as well, the case is talking about where it's being held together with the screen that is used in the Beit Abad. And that, usually we take everything, we put it around, you know, while it's warming. So that's really not considered to be completely kaput. It's leaking out very gradually, and if you want to, you can still save it. And, okay, so that's not, over here, we're talking about a case where it's not worth anything. So that's different. Says the Gemara, but if that's because Imam Alam Akhlum, is it true that it's a bit yavad? When he goes ahead and he says that it should be truma, it's not truma. Why? The Atanya, this of course will be the case that will lead us to the distinction of Kal Beit Abad. Misha Baba Derech, Uma'ot Biyado, guy's got money. And who does he see coming towards him? Hanan Bisha. Or somebody that he knows it's all over. Va'anas Kenebdo. So he figures, great, buy money, but not before I use it to be put all by Mitzvah Shady. So, Lo Yomar, no. I can't say, Perot Sheish, Le Beto Beiti, Lo Kalalina Ma'ot Alalo, and let the Ganav go up and eat it in Yerushalayim. The imam, but if he did, Farav Kayami, now wait a minute, I thought if you're going to lose something, then it's not considered to be usable. He said, Bibidi Abad, Lo Araklum, why not? Well, Hachamayas Kinner, Kishachalad Seal. So I bet if you wanted to, you could fight the guy off. Understand? So then, if you can fight the guy off, so then it's yours. Why can't you say l'chatchila? Well, I mean, you can save it, but it's going to cost you. You'd much rather give him the money, smile, and walk away. So, therefore, it's technically it's yours. So if l'maisa you make it into most maisa sheni, pidyon maisa sheni, it's a good pidyon, but it's not the right thing to do l'chatchila. So in other words, now you're saying, the l'chatchila, you're not allowed to say it. It's not a problem. Kol heichad ikep tzidil chatchila lo yomar v'atanya. Harei shayulo eser chaviyot shel tevel tamei. You've got tevel, which is tamei. If it's tamei, so even when you make a truma, the kohen can't really use it. Right? You got tevel tamei. One of them you see is broken, v'nishtabra. Or one of them was left open and could have been attacked by a nachash in the middle of the night. Is no longer roy to be had. Can't drink. Omer harei trumat ma'aser al teshe chavro te'ah. You're still allowed to say that one that's broken, or that one that was nizgala, should be the Chubas Meiser on the other nine. But you shouldn't do that by Shemen, because if it was Shemen, then the Kohen was actually would have been able to use it. So the Shemen lo yasekein mipnei hefset Kohen. Since in that case, we're going to see what this is referring to. Since in that case, there's a hefset for the Kohen in saying this. So over there, you shouldn't do it. And I thought that you said that in a case where there's hefsed lechatchila, you can't do it. And here it says you can't do it unless it's shemen. And Omer Rebbe Yirmiyah, it's talking about over here. Kishakal beit abad karuch alav. This was the case where Rebbe Yirmiyah said that. It's talking about the akal beit abad is on it. Of course, that only helps for nishbra. Okay, so that's the reason that you're allowed to do it. Now wait a minute, bishul nishbra. Okay, nishbra was chazit, so there's not a problem. But nidgalta lamai chazit. What is the use of saying that? It says areyu truma. So in other words, it's not considered to be hefsed. Why exactly is it not hefsed? If it was a nizgala, it can't be used at all. So why are you saying? Now the situation is over here. You're telling me
If a kal beit abad aleha, the loss is minimal. What is it? It's dripping. Okay, fine. Not so bad. It's tummy anyway. That's very nice. But I mean, it was misgalta. You got to throw the whole thing out. Yeah, it's not good. What are you going to do with it? I mean, how are you talking? How do you minimize that? That's a total loss, right? Yeah, so it's a total loss. So what are you going to do with it? V'chitem, and maybe you'll say, what do you mean? What, I use it as a room spray. Yeah. I use it as a room spray. No, because I tell you, my ancient it galut, if you have things that are uncovered, I raise a loyish of Kheber Shadrabi. You cannot use it even to pour out in the street, because you never know whether somebody's going to end up poisoned by it. You can't even use it to mix cement with. You know, what if somebody one day chews on it, or a kid pulls it out of a wall or something? Somebody can be exposed to the poison. You can't use it as water to hold down the dust in a house. You can't take a chisel. Okay, if it dies, it dies. No, what if somebody buys that meat? Then maybe there's poison in it still. Can't use it for that? So if that's the case, it's a total and absolute loss. I thought you said in the case of a total and absolute loss, you're not allowed to do a look at tequila. And over here it says you are allowed to do a look at tequila. Ah, but you can, you see. It's possible to filter out the poison. Of course, that's a lot of cure. Okay, but fine, that's actually good. So you go, I'm a little bit misandenit, could it be the tanya? The tanya misandenit, yeshwa mishum gilui. Something which is dripping down slowly through misandenit into a bottom kli is still a chashash of gilui because it may have been exposed to the poison of a reptile. Says Rav Nechem, now wait a minute. That's only where the lower container is also open. So in other words, a nefesh could have got into it. But if it's completely covered by the misandenit, the nefesh could only have gotten into the wine that's dripping slowly through, or the coffee that's dripping slowly through the misandenit. The poison won't get through the misandenit. So that shows that, in fact, you can be misandening the poison. So he says, then even if the Elyonah was Mugula, there's no Gilu. Why? It's very foamy. And since it's foamy, it's going to get trapped by the misandenit. And it's, therefore, it's tzach v'omeid b'mekomo. It will float to the top of the misandenit, won't make its way through into the lower container, which means that over here you're always able to be misandening it. No, says Gemara, that won't work. Because la'vitmer la'omer v'tzimon omer v'yishuv levi lo shano l'shalot tarko. This is only true if it wasn't homogenized. But if it was homogenized, the fact that it was foamy makes no difference. It will make its way through the filter. Over here, the filter is only going to be filtered ex post facto. Now, how are you going to get it into the filter without pouring it? If you pour it, you're already homogenizing it. And therefore, there's no way to filter it. It's only if the original nachash attacked a filter. So therefore, even a limiter in the chem is not going to work. So in that case, and what are you going to do about tarko? No. It is possible, because what you could do is you could put a filter on the actual container that it's in, and then gently turn over the container and allow it to drip out slowly. So that container itself can become the Kli HaElyon, which will now slowly drip into the Kli HaTachton, and according to Rabbi Nechemya, it never gets out the Aras HaMach. So there's no tarak. No, you don't pour it anywhere. It doesn't pour. It's the pouring that will be the homogenization. I mean, albeit a small level of imagination, but enough for us to worry about some poison getting through. But if it's never poured, so there's no problem. So Atanani, but wait, this doesn't work for another reason. According to Rabbi Nechemya, the whole thing is ridiculous. Because Rabbi Nechemya holds, even though the tevel is tame, you can't take off matanis that are tame for tame. You have to take off matanis that are tame. So how could this work out of leaving Rabbi Nechemya? Look, Chatchila, he says you could take it off because it's minimal absent. You can't take it off at all, my dear friend. Because Alibir Rabbi Chemia asked the Gemara, Va'atanya, like Rabbi Chemia, mitarmina, can you take off truma at all? Va'atanya, tarmimina tame la tame, umina tara la tar, umina tara la tame, avalomina tame la tar. According to the Tanakhama, you can take off tame on tame. You can only not take tame for tar. Whereas Rabbi Chemia says, nah, afmina tame la tame, lo itiro litrom. The Chachomim did not allow you to take off tummy, even for tummy products, unless you're dealing with Dumai. If you're dealing with Dumai, since the whole thing is a Chumra Drabbanan, okay, over there we'll allow you to get away with giving the Kohen things that are tummy. But otherwise, no way. Okay, fine, so we're talking over here, Bishal Dumai. Who said we're talking about the Uraita? Look at me, Bishal Dumai. Now, you said, Bishem and Loyasa came. They have said Kohen. I don't understand. We're back to where we started from. It's dripping out slow. Okay. What's the difference between Shemin? Because you can put it into a lamp. Oil, but wine you can also use it. It's going to take another minute. Wine you can use it as a room spray. So spray it. Use the wine as a room spray. Maybe you'll say, it's valueless room spray. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's really not much use anyway. So there's minimal effort for the coin. Because it's broken, leaking out. Big deal. How much is it worth anyway? Is that so? You know, if you're going to drink wine, shotit milug besela. But if you're going to use the wine for spray, pay double. Get the best quality. So obviously spraying is even more harsher than drinking. So we're talking that's a minimal loss. So over here, you should say exactly the same thing. If by shemi lo yasekein, because it's going to be used more. So that by zilah for sure lo yasekein. I'm a grape juice. You tell me a guy who's going to go ahead and spray grape juice. Are you nuts? So he's talking about b'chadash. What do you mean he's talking about b'chadash? I mean, every chadash can become yashan. Just let it sit. It'll turn into good wine. Then you have a nice alcoholic spray. No, you can't leave it around. Because atibele de takala. What if somebody drinks it meanwhile?
It's true.
Yeah, you want to make it into trauma? Trauma's nice. So the shaman, you could say the same thing. Shemen, how can you leave it around to use as fuel for a lamb? Maybe someone will use it as a salad dressing. And then it'll be over on eating truma tmeya. No, you can, the shemen you can put into some kind of horrific container, which makes it inedible. So it's only used as a fuel. That's what you do. So put it into something that's only usable for fuel. The monopically most. So that you can put the room spray also into a lousy container. No, you can't. Yayinami monopically most. So what are you talking about? If you need the wine lezilof, so that means you're being even more makbid of the smell of the wine than you normally would. So you're going to put it into a clean mouth, that'll ruin it. So over there, by definition, since you have to keep it in good shape, you have to be worried about being netted from it, b'yisr, big brother, takala. Bashayki, the case of the shemen, you don't have to be worried. And therefore, don't give it to the kohen, because it's hefsed merubah. It's worth a lot of money, the shemen. So it's dripping, it's hefsed merubah.